Today on Python People, we've got Rob Ludwick, and I'm like super excited to talk to you, Rob, because your involvement with PyCon and with juggling at PyCon is one of the inspirations for this podcast, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking, when I started Python People, I thought, you know, I mean, Python Test is really about teaching. It's kind of focused on like teaching people something, but I really wanted to just get to know the people. And my thought process was kind of, there's a lot going on at PyCon. The Python people are really interesting. As an example, you can juggle at PyCon. And it shows that every time I've been to PyCon, I've seen the juggling. I've only participated once, but I thought that's pretty neat. I think we should talk about that. So that's one of the inspirations. So you've been going to PyCons for a long time.
Yeah. So I first got into Python around 2007-ish.
Okay.
So I was living in Fort Wayne, Indiana at the time. I now live in Boise, but back then I was living in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Naomi Cedar also was living back there at that time. So we actually knew each other pretty well because we both ran the Fort Wayne Linux users group back then.
Okay.
And I was working for Raytheon back at the time, in writing C++ and not really super enjoying it because it wasn't fun. Like there was like Java at the time and, you know, they were doing, C++. And so I was able to at least get into C++. And then I was looking at Python and I was just, you know, gobsmacked, I guess is the best word, about how powerful it was, and all of the hard problems went away. So like just trying to do, JSON was so simple, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, if you try to do that in C++, it's like, okay, well, you know, how you do that? Then you've got these interesting cases like, okay, so you've got an int. You got to make sure that's like, if you're doing int multiplication off the JSON, it's like, okay, you got to use like big int libraries, right? Well, in Python, it's like an int's like however long you want it to be.
It's funny. I've been using C++ most of my career, but I don't think I've ever used JSON with C++.
I'm sure it's possible. I just don't know how you do it. And when you're looking at like, you know, when you're looking at like Python, it's like, oh gosh, it's a no brainer. And so that's why I think, Python's a really great kind of, web framework language, or kind of a glue language between API services. It's just really, really awesome.
So
removes all the headaches of dealing with data like that.
So you got into Python 2007-ish through Naomi Cedar. That's pretty cool. And then a couple years later, your first PyCon.
Yeah, so that was 2009 in Chicago, I believe. And that was fun. What I remember about that time was how smart everybody was. Like I was just this coder, but all these really smart people were there. Right. And it's like what I got from that was Python enabled these smart people to work more effectively, because if you're thinking about other languages at the time, there was a struggle to do things. You know, if you're trying to do some sort of like, I don't know, scientific computing thing, the languages were kind of hard to deal with, because now you had to think like what we talked about, like size of ints, right? Now you have to think about size of ints, but in the scientific world, ints aren't 64 bits, right? So they're going to be much, much larger. So you know, in Python, that simplified a lot of that kind of workflow. And so I was surprised to see all these smart people there, and I was just amazed. So I went to 2009 in Chicago. Then I went to 2010 in Atlanta, 2011 in Atlanta. Then I missed the two in San Jose, the one in the first in Montreal, but I've been to every single one ever since. So I like the people. It's a fun time.
Okay.
I learn something every time I go there.
Yeah, me too. I love it. I started much later. I can't even remember. I think the second Portland one was the first time I jumped in and went.
Okay. Yeah. So. I remember that one. Yeah. That was, you know, what's funny about the Portland ones were that there was a juggling festival at that same Portland convention center a few years before that. And then, so I was there, and then there was juggling at PyCon, and then I was there for that as well. So anyway, just these weird things. I've been here doing this. So,
yeah. So, now you've been involved with the juggling bit though for a while, or did you start that, or did somebody else start that?
Ned Batchelder started that. So he had some stuff, juggling props, and I can't remember which one that he started it with, but, it would have been pre-COVID that I remember. Oh yeah. It would have been probably in Portland. Maybe the one before that as well. I can't fully remember, but I remember he was one of the instigators behind it. And what I remember about that is that, we started juggling. We would just, pick a spot out in the hallway, and then, we have a few props, and yeah, we just start juggling out there. And, it's kind of a great way to meet people too.
And I've seen it, but when it was, I think it was the last PyCon was the first time I think I participated. And I was only there for like maybe 10, 15 minutes, but it's kind of neat seeing you've got people that are really good at juggling and then other people that are just want to try, or for instance, you know, maybe, have been decent at three and we're trying four, and, or somebody that's trying pins for the first time or something. That's pretty cool to have some Python nerds like helping each other out with juggling. That's kind of a neat thing.
It's fun. The one thing I enjoy about it is that juggling is kind of like it's weirdly this universal language, particularly with, you know, clubs and when you pass clubs. The idea is that everybody kind of knows. And so if you haven't juggled with somebody passing clubs, you can kind of just pick it up and do it. It's kind of weird in that way. It just works out. And so then there's tricks that both people typically know. And so, you know, then you just start passing. And it's like, oh yeah, just like juggling with an old friend, you know, it's kind of like that.
We had some friends of ours with, like, way back when, my youngest daughter, my oldest daughter, actually, when she was a baby, we had like a play group for babies, which was weird, but
that's kind of what juggling is. It's like a play group for nerds.
But one of the couples that came over that our baby played with their baby, they were jugglers, and so much so that they apparently they walked down the aisle at their wedding through a tunnel of jugglers.
Yes.
And then so she was pregnant with her second child, and they came over to our house once, and they did this, like, in our house, they did pin juggling maybe it was balls. Anyway, they were juggling with the two of them, and they would walk around in circle, with one of them being in the front doing the juggling, and then the other one would go up to the front to juggle. And it was interesting watching, because they had to learn how to alter this because of the size of her. She was very pregnant at the time. And something to see. And then I'm like, man, I've always only did like juggling balls before then. But juggling's been kind of a fun thing in my life. But that's just the tip of the iceberg with PyCon. And that's kind of one of the things we kind of wanted to jump into more than just juggling. But I got a couple more juggling questions. How long do the sessions usually last, or is there a usually, is it like an hour long thing, or?
Usually is after, they try to do it like about 5 o'clock, and then it just goes until people are tired, which, you know, if you haven't juggled in a while, like me, I'll like go to maybe 7 PM. So if you start, I think at about 5:45 to about 7:45 PM, it's typically about the, you know, it's a couple hours, and it's usually good enough to get a good juggling session in. That's usually what most juggle sessions are anyway.
Okay. And then does everybody go off and go eat together afterwards, or do you just split up?
Sometimes they just split up. But I think the last time we had some people from Ukraine stop by, and they were in the juggling session, and so we just all went out together to eat. And so I met with these people from Ukraine, and they were just really sweet. They were just really, really nice people. Okay. And yeah, it was just, I just remember having a blast with those guys.
That's great.
So, yeah.
Okay. And one of the, everybody's respectful, because these, I think at least last time it was in a hallway with open spaces to the side, or other rooms to the side. So people were walking by, at the same time. Can get a little crazy, but everybody's nice. So.
Yeah, I've tried to do it. I know that Ned wasn't there the first Salt Lake City, so I kind of tried to do it out in the open area, where it's like, if I host it, I'll be trying to do it in the open area. And that way it's like, you know, people aren't going to get like injured if I start throwing like high, like a double or a triple, and you know, people aren't going to get injured. So that's the key thing. So,
okay. Well, do you want to jump into some of these other topics? Like, how to get the most out of PyCon?
Yeah, let's do that. So, you know, I've been going to a bunch of PyCons. I, as much as I enjoy going to the talks, one thing that I enjoy more is the people. So I enjoy talking to the people kind of way more than I enjoy seeing the talks. There are some, don't get me wrong, there are some good talks, but the things that I'll bring out are kind of ideas, meeting with people, will give me new ideas to think about stuff. And those won't necessarily be in the talks. They kind of call that the hallway track. So, yeah. So, and the unfortunate thing, I think, is that it's not every talk is going to be awesome. I mean, it's just the way a conference is going to be. But there are going to be some definitely good talks there. But the other thing to keep in mind is that the talks will typically be online. So they're going to be on YouTube afterwards, right? So then you can always go back and miss, you know, look at the talks that you missed if you're really interested in that, or you hear something about a talk that was spectacularly good, you can go back and see that talk. But you know, the thing is, the people aren't going to be there. There's no YouTube for the people, so you can't go talk to the people on YouTube afterwards. so that's the way that's kind of the way I see it.
One of the things I like to encourage for that aspect of it is, if there's a talk topic that sounds interesting, but the person that's giving it, is somebody you're not familiar with, you don't know them, that's a great talk to go to then. Because those are the heroes of Python, the top names that everybody knows. Those are going to be full anyway, but yes, the other ones, it's kind of a bummer to give a talk to like four people in the audience. So,
Yeah, it is.
So it's good to have, like, you know, if you're interested in it, go support some of these other people giving talks, because that also kind of presents an idea to the PyCon organizers, I imagine, as to what kind of talks to have. And you know, if you have a favorite topic, let's support that. But
yeah, I think, there's, I can't imagine all the politics that go into like selecting talks, but there's a lot of stuff that, is really good. Right. So
other than the talks, there's so much else going on. We talked about juggling for one, but there's, I do want to talk about like both the open spaces and some of the other things going on. I'll let you introduce it. What are open spaces?
Open spaces are kind of like a build your own conference in a way. PyCon provides, when they get the space from the, when they get the conference from the venue, they usually reserve extra conference rooms. And those conference rooms are available to schedule for an open space. So what they do is they have, starting Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they have those rooms available. So, and they go from like, I don't know, 8 to 6 or 7, maybe. It depends upon the contract they have with the venue. But the idea here is that there's usually a good number of rooms and openings to talk about things, right? So last year I did, and it doesn't necessarily have to be about Python either. So you can have, if you're really interested in something, you can go grab a room and talk to other people that are also interested in that thing. So I've seen things that are not even remotely related to Python at all, and people just go there and talk, and that's great.
So like for instance, Python Bytes, we often, if Michael and I are both at the event, we'll often do a recording, just in an open space. We'll just grab an open space and a bunch of people show up. That's clearly kind of self-serving, but also Python related. But also then I've been to, there's been knitting ones. There's been one where people just brought a bunch of chocolate from around the country and around the world to share. And they're just eating chocolate in there. I mean,
then there's ones like, I remember one back in, I remember this talk back in, or in open space on time zones, and said, you know, prepare to have headaches.
Certain topics. Yeah.
And so that's what I remember. That's what I remember about these certain topics. But yeah, no, like last year I had a small 3D printer. So I live in Boise, and I was able to drive down to Salt Lake City last year. So I just thought, I'll just bring a 3D printer down with me. So I brought a 3D printer down, and I had an open space on 3D printing, and we didn't talk about Python too much. We talked about 3D printing, and that was a blast. And it was a bunch of nerds talking about, you know, 3D printing. And we had some high school teacher that came in, wanted to learn about some things. And you've got all these great people there that are willing to share. So, yeah.
That's pretty cool. There's that way they set it up, and I don't know if it's always like this, but this is how I remember it. There's like, you show up the first day, and there's like some boards, set up, like, big, I don't know, big poster board things set up in grids, and the grids are about index card size or a little bit larger. So then you can just grab an index card and write the title of your open space, and stick it up there, and if you're the first one, you get the open space. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So one thing to keep in mind though is that usually in the venue, if they don't have if they've run out of space, but you need to do something for a particular time, you can just go ahead and put something on the side of the board or something like that around the same time, and then just describe where you're going to meet, right? So usually the venues are so large that you can find a spot anyway to go talk.
Yeah.
So you can just say outside this room, and usually there's a spot where you guys can meet, and then you can wander over and just talk, and it's actually pretty nice. So,
and then one of the other things is lightning talks.
Yes.
I don't really know how those work.
Yeah, they're very similar. You've got to they open up the lightning talks, and then there's usually a large crowd that goes and tries to get a spot on the lightning talk schedule. First come, first serve.
Okay.
And then you get like 5 minutes. So then it is just like you go up on stage, you plug in your laptop, get your slides ready, and then they give you 5 minutes. And then meanwhile, while you're talking, there's somebody else getting up on stage with their laptop, getting their slides ready, et cetera, et cetera. And that's pretty much how it works. And there's usually some good things in those as well. The one of the problems of doing the juggling is that usually conflicts with the lightning talks, because I'm going to be juggling at the same time the lightning talks are going on, but at least in the evening. But they do the lightning talks. It looks like they've got the lightning talks in the evening this year. Both, before they've had it on in the mornings as well, but I was looking at the lightning talks. They've got the lightning talks scheduled for the evening of Saturday and Friday night and Saturday night, it looks like. So
yeah,
that's a little bit of a change. Normally, sometimes they'll do it like lightning talks in the morning. So they'll do like lightning talks, and then you get your breakfast, and you can go watch the lightning talks as you munch on your breakfast and drink your coffee. Yeah.
No, the lightning talks are fun. And then it's also kind of a interesting room often. They'll do last time I went to one, it was a large conference room or one of the large auditoriums, but people will kind of blend, like kind of come in and out and watch a couple talks, then go off and do something else. So,
yeah. It's really good. Sometimes they talk about something that you want to get more information about, but they just kind of, and again, the lightning talks can be pretty much about anything. So I've seen lightning talks that were about science things that people were just randomly working on. And they were talking about like 5 minutes of some science, and they put up some slides. And I thought those are kind of the most interesting stuff, because the things that I enjoy are not necessarily things, the kind of the things about Python, but what people are using Python for.
Yeah.
And then that's actually even more exciting, I guess.
And then the space, what's the space called with like all the vendors and everything? I can't remember what that's called.
Oh, the, I don't know. Yeah, I know what you're talking. I can't think of it either, but they have the vendor space, right? Let's call it there.
Well, okay. So in a lot of conferences I've been to, and I haven't been to tons of conferences, but a lot of conferences, there's talks going on, tutorials, and then there's the vendor space, and the vendor space is mostly about people going around and finding information about the vendors. But at PyCon, the vendor space is like one of the major places to hang out and meet people also.
Yes.
So there's a lot of like discussions, and I don't know if it's always like this, but at least the last one, the where people are eating is often at the same place where the vendor space is or right attached to it. So there's a lot of tables around, so that makes for easy meeting up with people and then going off and sitting at a table and talking or whatever. So
yeah. And often I'll see people that are like eating there, and I'll go up and say, hi, hey, how are you? That's usually a good space to go to, It can be a little noisy, I think, the because that's kind of like the, you know, that's kind of like more like a, it feels more like a gymnasium space sometimes rather than rather than a carpeted conference room. But yeah, there's that is one of the nicer things, is like pretty interesting. At least then you can like go, when you go eat, they'll have the food, and then you go talk to the vendors, and it's like they have some interesting stuff going on there. And then, and then it's like, oh, you'll see people there, and if you sit down and eat with people, yeah, you'll find some interesting people to talk to as well there.
And that, but so the vendor space is often open Thursday night also. But and then Friday, you know, Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday the vendors are gone. And there's on Sunday there's is that, I think poster sessions are on Sunday also, or are they?
Yes, poster session, at least the way they did it last year, was poster sessions were there, and then the job fair was there as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And so Expo Hall, that's what they call it. Expo Hall.
Oh, okay. I kind of like poke around the job fair just to see what kind of companies really are hiring. It's interesting to see what people are doing. But the poster sessions are kind of a neat thing that I didn't quite understand when I first came. And again, well, I think those are, you have to, like a talk, you have to submit your poster idea and get accepted.
Right. So posters were created back in Atlanta, I think.
Okay.
I think they were created at, and I think at that time, again, Naomi Cedar was the one who kind of spearheaded that, and they got the poster sessions up. One of the reasons that she did that was not everybody was comfortable giving talks.
Right.
So okay. The idea was, and not everything works well for a talk either. So the idea was you could have a poster, you could have a poster up, and then the people could just come up and they would ask you questions. And then that way you could just, you could kind of present the ideas without giving a full talk.
Yeah. Right.
And it would be more conversational. Right.
Yeah.
So you would get questions asked and there'd be back and forth conversation. And then it's just like there's a flow. And then, yes, I think there's some there's still some nervousness because you're going to be presenting a poster. But on the other hand, it's not they're not necessarily recorded either. So, the conversations are not going to be recorded. They're more ad hoc. And usually there's some really good stuff there as well. And so that's like one of the, maybe the overlooked ones, I'd say, of modern PyCons, is that people tend to overlook the poster session. I tried, that's one thing that I tried to go see. There was, here's a guy who did some, he had kind of a screen, electronic screen based off of those 7-segment LEDs, and he was playing videos there last year. And that was kind of fabulous to see. So
I want to shout out to everybody to say, if you go to PyCon and you wanted to do a poster, but you didn't get accepted, or you wanted to do a talk and you didn't get accepted, and you wanted to do these other things, and for some reason you didn't make it, didn't sign up fast enough, but you do want to reach the rest of the Python community, call me or, get a hold of me and come on Python People or Python Test, and we can talk about something.
Yeah.
It's also a very welcoming community. And I think the key is to go to PyCon at least twice, because the first time I had a similar reaction to you, is like, everybody here is so smart. Why am I here? But then you start paying attention to really who everybody is, and yes, everybody's really smart and there's some brilliant people there, but there's also just people, and you're smart also in your own, the things that you're smart about. And that's kind of what Python is, since it's such a language used for so many different things. If you're really a user interface person, or maybe you're a web person, whatever, there's going to be other people that don't know that stuff and can learn from you. So it's a cool mix of the community.
Right. One thing to keep in mind is, since we're on the topic of PyCon and being a welcoming community, I believe it is the most welcoming conference I've ever been to, honestly. So if you have doubts about wanting to go to PyCon, like it's not for me, or, you know, it's not like, it's just going to be a bunch of like, you know, nerds or something like you might see at other conferences. No, it's not like that. There's everybody from all kinds of places from the world, different interests, and PyCon is PyCon's a great venue, but it's really just about the people. And so that's what they celebrate there. They celebrate the language as well, don't get me wrong, but they also celebrate the people, and the community is just wonderful as well.
It is. And I have been to other conferences as well, tech conferences. I went to a software quality focused conference, and I was surprised it didn't seem like people were there to meet each other. It was more about just going to the talk and learning something. And that is part of PyCon, but like you said, if you're just there to learn the material, it's going to show up on YouTube. You get so much more out of it by showing up. So
yeah. And the other thing to remember is that a lot of the people, most people there, are going to be very open. So you can go up to somebody, and you want to know more about what they did, they are typically pretty open about that. They'll answer questions, and it's just this wonderful kind of experience of just sharing knowledge.
One of the things to take advantage of is breakfast, because there's breakfast that is usually served at PyCon, and which is interesting. But there's, it's not a lot of food, but you know, whatever they've got, bagel or something. And there's people sitting around, and I think that's a great place, 'cause you have these big tables. Breakfast and lunch are great times to meet people. Lunch is a little crazy. There's a lot of people around, but breakfast, it's a little thinner often, and you can show up and just sit next to somebody and then just talk, just to say, hey, you know, what do you do in Python, and what are you here for? How long have you been here? And I think that I've never met somebody that thought that it was weird that I was talking to them at breakfast.
Yeah, it is kind of like one of these things where the tables they're typically large tables. So, you know, unless you have 20 people in your group, that you all know, you know, if you're just going by yourself, there's going to be tables, and you know, typically there's going to be enough space. So if you want to sit alone, that's fine. But if you want to go hang out with people, you can do that too.
Yeah. Great time to meet people. It's a blast. I still am on the fence as to whether I'm going to go this year. I kind of want to go, but also,
yeah,
it's far away.
As Pittsburgh. I booked my flight last night, and I was going down. So I'm going to go to the tutorials this year. Okay. The one tutorial I'm going to go to that I'm really looking forward to is Fundamentals of Modern Deep Learning with PyTorch.
Oh, wow.
So that should be, you know, those tutorials are about, it looks like 3.5 hours long. This one's going to be at 9 a.m. And, you know, they cost $150 to go to typically, but that's, you know, to me, the flight's going to be way more than this. So I decided to go ahead and sign up for that one. That's kind of one that I've been wanting to do, but I just haven't had the time to do it. So I'm going to, hopefully what I'll get is I'll get 3.5 hours of just me opening my laptop and then going and figuring out PyTorch, and then figuring out how I can apply that to my graphics card here. I have at home and seeing if I can like do some simple stuff and things like that, because I haven't quite figured out how to get into PyTorch, but PyTorch seems like it's the way to go. It's the way forward, at least for today, for machine learning. So I've been wanting to do more of that. So that's one thing I was going to sign up for.
That sounds interesting. So the tutorials are like a couple days. I think they're 2 days before.
Yeah, they're so technically the, you know, PyCon is the entire week from like Wednesday through the next Wednesday, right? The main conference days are Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but then Wednesday and Thursday before are tutorials.
Okay.
And then
Thursday Monday, night, there's a big dinner thing usually. So
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday afterwards are sprint days.
Yeah.
Right. So you can go off and code sprints with people if you want to do that.
Also, so both the tutorials and the sprints are great times to kind of experience the Python community without the huge crowd, because it's the huge crowd shows up for Friday, Saturday, Sunday usually.
That's right. That's right. And also what you were talking about with kind of the lighter aspect is absolutely true with the tutorials. There's people there, but they're not a large number of people. So, so it's, and typically some of the tutorials are going to be in large room format. Others are just going to be in smaller rooms. So, but you know, I've had a pretty good experience with the tutorials in the past. So I'm definitely looking forward to this. I'm gonna not get his name, but Sebastian Vrashka on PyTorch, I think, is the one that I was looking forward to. And then the other one that I was looking forward to was on Thursday, Russell Keith McGee has built a cross-platform app with Beware. And so the Beware is a framework so that you can build, you know, basically Android apps in Python. And,
neat.
Yeah. And he's also got a talk, but I've seen him before, do a presentation, and I enjoyed him. So I'm looking forward to that one too.
Yeah. He's an entertaining personality.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Well, Rob, thanks so much for, talking PyCon with me. And, I hope that you have fun. And if I show up there, we'll probably juggle together.
Okay. Well, I hope you make it out. One thing I do want to keep in mind is if you are going to go to a tutorial, do it ASAP, because those fill up quickly, particularly
popular
ones. So, but yeah, I hope to see you. I hope to see you there.
Cool. Well, nice. Talk to you later.
Hey, talk to you later too. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Python People. Show notes are at pythonpeople.fm. Please subscribe to the show. You can also follow the show on Mastodon. Follow at Python People or at Brian Ocken, both on fostodon.org. This episode is brought to you by the Complete PyTest course. PyTest is powerful and easy to get started. You owe it to yourself and your team to write clean, easy-to-read tests to save you time now and during maintenance. The Complete PyTest course will get you started with good habits and teach you some cool tricks when you need them later on. Even if you already use PyTest, why not level up? With a 30-day refund policy, you've got nothing to lose. Check it out at courses.pythontest.com. Thank you, Patreon supporters. You rock. Links to the course and Patreon signup are in the show notes. If you'd like to be on the show or know someone you'd like me to interview, reach out to me on Mastodon. I'm at Brian Ocken at fostodon.org. That's all for now. Thanks.